Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
Whatever our journey is here over the next few months, I want it to play out in front of you. I want you guys to see the greed of Stu Gatz in free agency. I want to be transparent. Even though these promise to be some delicate times and negotiations, I want everyone to see everything that's happening around here because we try to be transparent as a dysfunctional family. I need the help of the shipping container right now. Everybody was locked and ready to go today at the appointed time. Mike Ryan was ready. Billy was ready. Tony was ready. But Chris was not because Chris is already out with a sick day. As a personal assistant, he's been an unmitigated disaster. Useless. Can't get a hold of him. Can't get return phone calls from him. And then there's his father who just now, Billy, don't make faces at me. You're the worst at the return phone calls. It's amazing around here how I can't get anybody to call me back. Don't wave your finger at me because Chris can't return phone calls.
I was going to say, Dan, we found out during the local hour from Greg that Chris, day trader now. So you may lose him to the market very soon, Dan.
Now he's gambling on the stock market. Okay, so this is what we have. So this is the starting point on this. I come in here. We're ready. Mike, Stu Gatz has just walked in. Mike is making like sort of Santa Claus-shaped hands around his waist. What happened? Did he bend over in front of you?
It's the one of four times a year where the temperature gets down to the 50s over here, and Stu Gatz is layered up and
whoa,
and he has put on some blubber in advance of this winter because the side view that I just got, that gut is out.
I am fat. All right, that's it. It all goes to my stomach. Every single pound will go right to my stomach. All of it.
It is funny how your weight distribution works.
I think I weigh 180 pounds and 172 of those pounds are in my stomach.
I want the audience to see what's happening here because Stu Gatz gets here late. We're just starting on this portion of the journey. I'm telling you, frankly, that I am very concerned about the general greed of Stu Gatz and how distracted he's going to be. He is super motivated right now. We haven't seen him like this in years where he is fired up. He's like, oh, wait, contract couple of weeks. It's not even a contract year. Contract couple of weeks where I can get mine all over the place.
Listen, I'll be wherever you want me to be as long as you pay for a cameo. How about that?
So this is where we are. I'm going to have to do the show paying him incrementally. Like anytime I have a thought, I'm going to have to send what I need the answer to be to Cameo and negotiate it so that every time Stu Gatz is speaking on this show, he's being paid by Cameo because it's the only way I can reach him.
Good idea.
Buddy, Roy, Billy, Chris, Mike here. You got a big show meeting today. Sorry I couldn't be a part of it. Lacrosse thing came up. Either way, I'm good.
So
when I'm late, you want to know what time I'm going to be here, I'll just do it via Cameo. All right, you guys have to pay for it, and we'll let you know I'll be here about 10 minutes late.
I'm on the causeway.
So this is what I'm dealing with today because the best of them, the best of the entitled, has been Greg Cody, who arrives at the microphone and doesn't know how it works, but was here roughly at the right time. Tell me you got a back in my day today. Do you have a back in my day?
Yes, sir. I sure do.
Yes,
sir. Yes.
Wow, so nervous.
Okay, so what is going on with your son? Where is your son? Why is he already taking a sick day? I mean, he's collecting severance. I know. You would have known that if you hadn't gotten here late. You got here late.
He works from home.
What is happening here, Greg? What is the status of your son, who I've just told the audience is a pretty terrible personal assistant?
He texted me about 7:30 and said that he was feeling nauseousness and wanted to try to sleep it off. And I will say that throughout his childhood, he has been prone to stomach issues where if he's sick, chances are it's got something to do with his stomach.
But it is also possible that he simply had too much to drink last night, because this happens often with this oaf. I wonder where he learned it.
I will not engage in speculation.
So Greg Cody of the Miami Herald is on with us all show today. Mike, what happened? You saw something on your phone here that's got your attention?
Well, I just want to remind the audience and everybody, this is a massive day, a week in the making. Today on the Big Suey, we find out whether or not Greg is the best Dolphins historian.
Yes, we are going to have a competition. Look at the horrified face of Greg Cody. Greg, give us your honest thoughts here, because you'd forgotten about that and you thought we forgot as well, didn't you? You'll face off against Dolphin historian Andy Cohen. If you guys are not familiar, Greg Cody has already run out of podcast ideas and is just stealing them from us. So he had Harvey Green on his podcast, yammering Harvey Green, Dolphin historian. Last week on the show, Greg Cody, go ahead, tell us. I don't know whether you think he'll walk it back here, Mike, because he was pretty boastful when he didn't think he was going up against Andy Cohen.
He was boastful and thought it would be like a story time competition. And then we said, well, the best way to judge this is probably through trivia. And then all of a sudden he was backing off and saying that he needed Hank Azaria and Harvey Green to take part in it. It was very bizarre.
If we were Vegas and we were setting the odds on this, you would have Andy Cohen as what kind of favorite?
I think he's going to be a big favorite, because
really?
I found Greg Cody, generally speaking, to be lacking in the details. He is okay at the macro, but I don't feel like he's going to fare very well at all in a trivia competition, like at all. I think there's the very real chance on this show that any one of us could beat Greg Cody as Dolphin historian on trivia. Do you think I have that wrong, Cody? Because you look shocked and scared when we told you that Andy Cohen is indeed willing to do this and will be here in moments.
I've never been a quiz taker. I'm not somebody who enjoys taking a quiz, which inherently involves trivia. So if you ask me, you know, who was the Dolphins' right guard in 1989, I have no idea. Actually, I do. It was Harry Galbraith who led the league in holding penalties.
So you knew the answer to your own question. Amazing.
I think I'm going to do okay. But listen, I will say this. When I refer to myself as a Dolphins historian, I mean this and this only. I was at the very first game with my dad in 1966. I grew up with the team. I evolved into somebody who covered the team. The Dolphins have been one of my timelines of my entire life. And so that's what I mean. I don't think there are a lot of people like me who literally were born into the Dolphins and who later became somebody who professionally covered them. That makes me a Dolphins historian. Whether I'm a better one than Andy Cohen, I have no idea.
Okay, well, this is a different tone by a lot than what you were doing last week when you were smearing Andy Cohen. We're going to bring him on in a second. What happened? Mike Ryan is getting off the phone with Andy Cohen, and it looks like Mike Ryan's eyebrows have been singed. He's shaking his hands. He is mouthing, wow. What happened with Andy Cohen here?
So Andy Cohen is a very confident individual. I didn't know what to expect going into this, but he is talking all sorts of junk. He knows he's going to hang one up on Greg Cody, and this is just a formality.
All right, bring him up real quick.
So Andy Cohen thinks he's going to take Greg to the woodshed. I would have Andy Cohen as a 2-to-1 favorite, -200 to win 100. I'm taking Greg Cody.
No, I have faith. No, okay. You can have all the faith you want. I would have Cody odds about +600. Andy Cohen as a monster favorite here. And this is the reason, because you guys just heard it. If you were listening the last couple of weeks, Andy, forgive me for a second. We'll get to you in a second. I haven't talked to you in a long time. I'm looking forward to talking to you. But the audience heard, if it's been listening the last couple of weeks, what Greg Cody just said now, which is, hey, the only way I want to be viewed as a historian is that I was there at the first game, and then I grew into being someone who chronicled the team in all the 60
Correct.
Years afterward. But that's not what he was saying last week. What he was saying last week is that Andy Cohen was paid by Dolphin Digest, and so he was an arm of the company. He's not an independent journalist. And furthermore, you were saying, when we asked you, you were saying you were the foremost historian on Dolphins football in Miami. You did say that, Greg. You can walk it back and dilute it all you want, but that is what you said last week.
Okay. I do think that there are a handful of people in this market who have a claim to that title. Andy is one. Armando Salguero, one of my colleagues, is one. Harvey Green is one. There may be others.
Making Armando Salguero one, then you're making me one. There is a gulf of difference between where it is that I put Andy Cohen in this hierarchy. Andy Cohen, to me, is the signature historian in the history of this franchise.
He's the overall number one seed in the tournament.
Far and away. Let's find out from him. Andy, I don't want, don't be bashful. Don't be modest. I want to hear what you think, and thank you for being on with us, of the last couple of minutes that you've heard here.
Okay, let me just say that I have a great deal of respect for Greg. He's an excellent writer, has a great humorous touch. Stories always make me smile, and he certainly knows the Dolphins very well. Having said that, this is Kansas City against the Jets, Dan.
Last week,
you're no historian unless you attend the first Dolphin game ever. I attended the first Dolphin game, went with now high school guru Larry Bluestein in the back of his father's refrigeration truck, sat in the top row of the upper deck. After Joe Auer scored on the opening kickoff, I will always remember turning to Larry and saying, someday I'm going to be writing about this team. I was 12 years old then at the time.
Oh, my God. He's open by taking a flamethrower to the proceeding.
Oh, my God. In his monologue, he answered three of my trivia questions.
And pick up that name you dropped.
Let me throw one more at Greg. Greg, where were you at midnight on December 25th, 1971? Do you recall?
I know exactly where I was. I was in the living room with my father watching the longest game ever, watching Garrow's winning field goal flipping through the uprights.
Good job.
And jumping up and down, pogoing with my dad, hugging.
But I bet you Andy
because
was
the high five hadn't been
I bet
invented.
You Andy was
where
closer.
Was I, Greg?
Yes, where was
Where was I? I was with 20,000 Dolphin fans at Miami International Airport, standing on the roof of my car as the Dolphin team plane landed, screaming into about 2 o'clock in the morning as the players walked by and saluted the 20,000 people there.
Right.
That's where I was.
Yeah, my future wife was there. I dispatched her because I didn't want to leave my house.
Oh, I'm sure. But you got to remember also, Greg, I've covered this team for 41 years. You would stroll in the Dolphin world a day or two a week, maybe as much as you did back in my day for Dan. Three-day practice.
You live there.
I'm there every day, every practice. Yep. And you were writing other sports very well, Greg. But you
Thank
were never
you,
like the main guy with the Dolphins. You know, I spent 41 years. I probably went to every practice for 33, 34 years. I mean,
right.
I spent an hour with every head coach from Shula to Sperano every week. One-on-one, exclusive, talking life, talking football. I have just a treasure trove of stories about my one-on-ones with head coaches. Greg, I have a lot of respect.
Was this, Andy, this was when you were working for Dolphin Digest, right?
Okay, I was hired by the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel in 1980, a credible newspaper.
Bonafide.
To cover the Miami Dolphins. I covered them for eight years.
Right.
I then went into business with Tom Curtis and ran Curtis Publishing Company, which grew to publish five NFL team publications and two national publications. One of them was Dolphin Digest, and I was editor of Dolphin Digest. We were not the official publication of the team. It was just a great time before the internet showed up, and in the 90s, Dolphin Digest had 35,000 paid subscribers.
Right.
After that, about 7-8 years ago, the Dolphins hired me to be their columnist on their website, and I've done that since. And now I do a blog at Aco and Fins. And
Greg,
you know,
Greg, forgive me, Andy.
Areas.
Forgive me, Andy. Greg, it seemed like you were intending to disparage him by saying you work for Dolphin Digest, as if that is not.
He's on the take.
I felt
or
like, yeah, I felt like there was some tone in your question.
No, here, Andy, I'm glad you mentioned. The Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel, I'd forgotten that you worked for that paper, and I'd also forgotten that was a newspaper that changed its name. When I mentioned Dolphin Digest, all I meant was, you mentioned 35,000 subscribers. I think that was an era when the Miami Herald had about 390,000 subscribers and 500,000 on the weekend. Jesus. But I'm not going to get into who had more readers because that's really irrelevant to this. But later, I think it is true, Andy, that in the most recent past, you have been paid by the club and therefore you're not an independent journalist in the way I am. Now, does that make me more of an historian? Maybe not, but it does make me more of an independent opiner on the Dolphins.
You know, I'll buy that. You know, having said that, the Dolphins gave me a lot of literary license writing a column on their website, but I'm not going to fool you. You know, I'm not going to write a column, you know, asking for the coach to be fired. You know, my column stayed between the lines on the field. But as far as knowledge of this team, Greg, you know, I can tell you Marino Shula stories that'll just blow you out of the water on one-on-one. I mean, I was in Shula's house the day Dorothy died, hiding in his laundry room for an hour until Shula realized I was still there and came to the laundry room, put his arm around me, wept, and walked me out of the house.
Wow.
Shula called my father before he went in open heart surgery. I used to play tennis with Shula, and he wouldn't let me lob. I mean, he insisted there's no lobbing when you're playing in tennis, and that's the only way he beat me. I mean, Marino stories, 1984, I'm standing on the field pregame in Washington with Marino 2 hours before the game, and he looks out at an empty field and says to me, "I think I'll throw five today." The Dolphins win the game 35-17. He threw five.
Greg.
I mean, the experiences I've had are just incredible. But, Greg, with all fairness to you, you weren't only covering the Dolphins. I was only covering the Dolphins.
Yeah, that's true.
Every day.
I had to cover all sports as the columnist. Andy, were you ever in the Dolphins locker room and had Dan Marino directly make fun of the fact that you had holes in the soles of your shoe? Because Marino, this was before I wrote the infamous Trade Marino column. He and I always had a great relationship. He had a putting green in the locker room. He was putting. I was sitting down on a folding chair watching him. And yes, I happened to have a hole in the sole of my shoe. And Marino just started making merciless fun of me, making me the butt of all his jokes.
Andy, hold on a second. Oh, Billy, you want something?
I can top that if you want.
Yes, you'll top it in a second. Hold on a second. Ow. Billy, what do you have?
You should have taken him to the cobbler, Greg.
Yes, the cobbler. Hey,
yes.
Your Shula stories are not Andy Cohen's Shula stories. Go ahead and top him, Andy.
Marino, 1989, 1990, I get a phone call at my desk. I answer the phone. It's Marino. He says, "Hey, Andy, Dan Marino, I want you to hire my sister as a graphic artist or I'm going to buy your company." I said to Marino, "At this point, Dan, I'm not sure you can afford the company."
Yes.
We both had a good laugh. As it turned out, I hired his sister, Debbie, one of the best hires I ever made. She was an outstanding graphic artist. But he called me and threatened to buy my company unless I hired his sister.
Okay. I don't know where this is going to end up. I do know that we need to formalize this. We've had this has been fireworks. It's been a fireworks show so far to start. And, Mike, I don't know what our testing system is going to be here. I feel like Andy Cohen's going to be able to answer just about anything.
No lobs?
Yeah, I don't think we should do a quiz. Anybody can have a media guy in front of them or, you know, answer. It's experiences that make it different. For me, you know, it's a 12-year-old kid sitting in the top row of the Orange Bowl telling his best friend he's going to write about this team someday. I mean, to me, that's mind-boggling to me that I had that experience and was able to be blessed enough to live it out in real life.
By the way, Andy, at that first ever opener in 1966, my dad and I had better seats than you and Bluestein.
Oh, my God.
100%. 100%. I don't doubt that one bit. And it was I remember we probably paid $12 a ticket, something like that. And it was hard to come by for me back then. So I'm sure you had better tickets, Greg.
Here's the reason we had better tickets. My dad was a carpenter for the then long-defunct Everglades Hotel, which was right on Biscayne Boulevard across from where the Heat Arena is now. And at the time, the Dolphins had their Miami Touchdown Club meetings at the Everglades. So my dad actually formed something of a relationship with Joe Robbie and one day came home with not only a signed letter from Joe Robbie, but a signed football as well.
Greg, do you think any of what you're saying right now is interesting to the audience, or are you just catching up with Andy Cohen? Like, do you think that that story right there is interesting to the audience?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, very. Andy, did you think it was interesting to even you?
Not really. How about this Shula story? Wow. Toward the end of his career, I'm doing a one-on-one column alone in his office, and he says to me, "Jimmy Johnson, doesn't anyone realize what that man is trying to do to me?" And I went, "Whoa," like that. It was amazing stuff. It was amazing.
That is amazing. That was inside, because Shula wasn't saying that stuff to anybody. In fact, I pissed Shula off because I was advocating for Jimmy Johnson. Andy, you were probably there. Was he? He was probably mother bleeping me in his religious perfect way.
Jimmy Johnson was an interesting person to do a one-on-one column with every week. I would walk into his office and he'd be giggling. I said, "Why are you happy?" He said, "Oracle stock just took off." he was amazing. He was so interesting. I'll tell you, it was amazing. Saban. I did a column with Saban every Wednesday night. I would sit there watching him eat his well-done steak and bread, and that's all he would eat. He would chew with his mouth open. He would look at me, and he would talk about Drew Brees and Culpepper before it was vogue to talk about Drew Brees and Culpepper. I just have unbelievable memories of Saban one-on-one on Wednesday nights. I mean, he would attack that steak like he was a savage.
Greg,
he just wouldn't care about it. How about this Don Shula story? Oh. I would sit in his office after a banquet where he ate lettuce, nibbled on lettuce the entire banquet. I would walk into his office. There'd be a large pepperoni pizza sitting there. In 20 minutes, he would down the entire pepperoni pizza. As much as I love Don Shula, he was one of the most amazing closet eaters I've ever met before.
Yes, I'm familiar with that. Yes, Greg Cody.
Well, Andy, I too have been in Shula's office and his den of an office, his awards room of an office.
Not every week, though. Not doing an hour-long column.
With the two Super Bowl trophies. And I must say, Shula's late career opinion of Jimmy Johnson was widely told. He told me, you know, he referred to him as Jimmy Who, and he didn't like Jimmy Johnson, and he didn't like the way that Jimmy replaced him or the way he went out. And that's well known. And I've been one-on-one face-to-face with Shula hearing the same thing, but I do enjoy that he was confidential with you as well.
Who did he tell first? I think it was probably Andy, right?
Oh, that I don't know. I wasn't there every day. Andy's got me on that one. He covered the Dolphins full time. I did not.
Well, 35 years of every day at practice. Mike, I don't know how we're going to do this. Like I said, I really believe that Andy Cohen is going to drag Greg Cody here.
Right now, Andy is cleaning his clock.
Yes, yes. This is no indictment of Greg Cody. It's just that Andy...
That sounds like a prison sentence to me, by the way. Andy, 35 years in a row at Dolphins practice every day.
Well, that's why he's a bigger and better historian than you are.
People who commit murder have had less of a sentence than that.
How about this, Greg? After every home game in the Orange Bowl, Shula would take Edwin Pope and me into his little coaching cubicle, and after his press conference was over, and he would confide in us, just the two of us, I feel so blessed to be a part of that, he would confide in us about the entire game. He would just rip people to shreds. He would rip the referees to shreds. He would just give Edwin Pope and I such enormous insight into what happened 3 hours before then, and it was just... Other writers would try to walk in, and Shula would have Stu Weinstein close the door, and it was just me and Edwin Pope, and it was just one of the most amazing times I've ever had, that he felt like he could confide in me the same level he could confide in Edwin Pope.
Well, I have a follow-up question here, Andy, if I may. If I say to you, you can only pick one, who was the greater Dolphin historian? Is it Greg Cody or Edwin Pope?
Wow.
I got to go with Edwin Pope.
Oh, I mean, Greg.
Edwin Pope. Greg. Edwin Pope. Well, Edwin Pope was the pontiff. I mean, he
was the pontiff. Yeah, I agree with Andy. Edwin is the all-time historian, RIP. And you know who else might be who was mentioned is Stu Weinstein? Because Stu, as Harvey told me recently, everybody knows who got killed Stu not only knows who killed them, but where the bodies are buried and why they were killed.
All right, hold on a second. Just hold on. That's the security advisor. He's not a historian. He's the guy in charge of security. He does know where all the bodies are buried. That might be a literal thing that I just said. I just need to rewind for a second because, Andy, this is no disrespect. We all love Edwin Pope around here, admire him as a pillar of professionalism in Miami. But you don't believe Edwin Pope is your equal as a Dolphin historian either, do you?
Well, if Edwin Pope was still alive, he would probably be my equal as a Dolphin historian because of the relationships that he developed over that time. But as far as the day-to-day knowledge, you talk about Stu Weinstein. I'm with Nick Saban and Stu Weinstein driving from training camp to the stadium for an appearance, and Stu Weinstein misses the turn to the stadium.
Uh-oh.
And
oh,
Nick
no.
Saban's in the front seat.
Oh, no.
And Nick Saban is the one who noticed he missed the turn
oh,
to
no.
the stadium.
Oh, no.
And Nick Saban, he's in the front seat. I'm alone in the back seat, and Stu's driving. And Nick Saban, I thought he was going to just tear Stu Weinstein apart. Stu Weinstein's hands were shaking as he had to take University back to the stadium because
wow.
he missed the turn off the turnpike.
Yeah. That could take hours. Yeah.
You could cut a knife in that car. It was really tense.
All right, this question is for Andy, the better, greater Dolphin historian, Dave Hyde or Greg Cody?
Hmm.
Greg, I hate to blow your day, buddy.
Oh,
but
no.
I'm going to give this to Dave Hyde.
Oh, no.
Only because,
Jesus.
Only because of the amount of work he has put in and getting to know the 70s team. You got to remember, I did that as well because my first year covering the team was 1980. I've covered the team for 41 years. But Dave Hyde has just done a tremendous job getting to know the 70s players and researching that period of time. I'm pretty good at the 60s, which is amazing. I can throw Dick Wood and George Wilson Jr. and all those guys.
Dick Wood?
Dick Wood was one of the first quarterbacks of the Miami Dolphins. Eddie Wilson was a quarterback of the Miami Dolphins that first year. They had like five. John Stofa, the coach's son.
Hold on, if I may, Andy. You've now pissed off Greg Cody.
Oof.
Because
Mike, Dave Hyde's got it.
Yeah, but oh my God.
Wow, he said it again.
Yeah, Mike, you saw it though. He turned red. There was a rage that swept over him
He
couldn't even spit out a baby to the words Dick Wood.
Yeah, Greg's posture changed once I heard the two words Dave Hyde.
Sorry.
Everyone else has changed when we heard Dick Wood.
Yeah, Greg, there's something.
Right.
You were legitimately mad about this. I want to get to this quiz. Quote unquote quiz. What do you have? Get the last word here before we do this testing, Greg.
Dick Wood died about 5 years ago. I remember writing like a short obituary. Dave Hyde, I have all the respect in the world for. I also have a good relationship with a lot of the 70s guys. When Shula passed away earlier this year, I did an hour long podcast we had on Larry Little and Larry Zonka and a bunch of those guys. So, I don't defer to anyone in terms of the breadth of my.
Okay.
Expertise on the Dolphins.
Andy, do you also toast yesterday when the Steelers lose? I know the 72 Dolphins do that. Do you throw up a little bit of champagne at your house?
No, I really don't.
That's surprising.
That's not one of the things I've done over the years. No.
Okay, no problem. He's an independent journalist as well, Greg Cody, because look,
he
doesn't drink champagne. Don't do that, Greg. Look, Andy Cohen is a journalist, and he's been a journalist for a long time in this market.
He is a journalist, but there's no denying that he gets a paycheck.
There are certain relationships that sometimes have to be protected.
Right, okay.
So let's do this. The first question is going to be, Mike, you're the game show host, Andy Cohen. The first question is for Andy Cohen here.
Questions drawn completely at random.
Totally at random.
I worked very hard on compiling these questions. Now, I have noticed neither Greg or Andy seem really into the idea of trivia. Because
Andy's going to kill this.
I think so, too.
I don't know.
You
I
are.
Mean, I don't know.
You are.
You
Andy, Andy, I am sure of it. It's just a tribute to your expertise, and you'll see. I believe that Greg Cody is going to be running scared very early in these proceedings.
Okay, so
mine's more personal experiences than remembering specifics, but I'll give a run at it.
Okay, I'm sure you got a real Slumdog Millionaire thing where I'll ask a question and you'll remember exactly where you were then.
Okay,
here we go. First question for Andy Cohen. When was the Miami Dolphins' perfect season?
Wow.
1972.
Boom!
Nailed it.
Boom! Nailed it. Oh, wow. A big start. Way a big start for Andy Cohen. Let's see what Greg Cody has that he
can counter
with. That
was good, Andy, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Thanks. I worked hard on that.
All right. Now, Greg, your question. How many receptions did David Boston have in 2005?
Okay. I see how this is going.
What do you mean? It's going with How's Andy going? Cohen kicking right. your ass.
Oh, God. I remember David Boston. His dad was an NFL referee who I knew a little bit.
Not the question.
Yeah.
I would say, I'm guessing here, 25.
Why are you guessing?
Because I don't know.
Four.
Four catches. So you were off by 21. Your historian streak is flawed right off the start. Let's go to a second question. Who do you want to ask first here, Mike?
This one goes to Andy Cohen. This one's real hard. Where did Dan Marino go to college?
Oh, that's impossible.
Wow. So long ago. So long ago.
That's not possible. Right. There's no way that he's going to get this.
Oh, I'm going to have to just take a flyer on this and say University of Pittsburgh.
What?
Did you look that up? Andy, wait, we got to do this a little quicker.
I did not.
Andy, we got to do this quicker, Mike, because I feel like Andy Cohen is looking at the internet and cheating on his answers.
He might be a little quicker with the answers there, but that is indeed correct. Greg, your question. Which 8-year San Francisco 49er was signed by the Miami Dolphins in 2006?
This is a very 2006 heavy trivia for
the last one was 2005. If anything, Greg's looking out on this. We're not really testing his memory.
This is recent.
And he's going
Wait,
way
he's
back.
Looking it up though. Wait, I can see him looking at the computer. 8-year San Francisco 49er. Do you want to take a guess?
Well, I think it might have been a punter, but I'm not sure.
Andy, do you want to take a crack at this, or you just want Cody?
No, I'll punt. I'll leave that one to Greg.
All right, good. Let him drown in his own feces.
All right, the answer is Fred Beasley.
Fred Beasley, Greg. So you're taking a beating so far here.
Was Beasley a punter?
No.
Was he related to Michael Beasley or no?
I don't think so.
I guess not.
And Greg's supposed to have the bad jokes here.
Okay. The Beezer.
Not the Beezer.
Jack Del Rio was slated to be the middle linebacker, but Jimmy Johnson drafted this middle linebacker.
Who's this for?
Out of Texas Tech.
For Andy, I believe.
Who is this middle linebacker that went on to have arguably a Hall of Fame career and lead the Dolphins in tackles nearly every season he was with the franchise?
Tough one.
Not only do I know it was Zach Thomas, I was in the next room when they were telling Zach Thomas that he's going to be the starter of the Dolphins. And I can still remember him saying, like, hot dang or something like that as a response.
He was next to the room, Cody. Where were you? Where were you as Andy Cohen was right next to where things were happening?
I was in the room sitting on Zach Thomas's lap, and we were eating cheese doodles.
But he got beat on the story anyway by Andy Cohen, old Scoops. Yes. What else do we have there, Mike, for Andy Cohen and Greg Cody as we do yet more Dolphin Historion off?
All right, this one's for Greg. How many stomachs do dolphins have?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yes.
Two.
That is correct.
Yeah. Come back.
Cody making a rally. Yes.
Take that, Cohen.
Take that, Cohen. What is your question?
I did not do enough stomach research for the show. I'm sure of it.
What do you have? What do you have for Andy Cohen, Mike?
Who did the 72 Dolphins play in the Super Bowl, and what was the final score?
No. That's 50 years ago.
Ooh.
14-7 Washington Redskins.
Wow.
Cody wanted to get in there. Cody was pretending, like people who try and get into a fight, pretending that he wanted in. He wanted in on that question, but then Andy Cohen answered it too fast. Final question here, Mike Ryan.
How many species of dolphin are there?
This is for everything, for who, Greg.
Is that for Greg Cody? That's for Greg Cody. Yeah. For everything?
Yeah, for all the marbles.
All the marbles, Greg.
Nine.
They're around 40, Greg.
Oh. So it is official. Andy Cohen is the greatest of the Dolphin historians.
I could have asked about Sam Congato, but I went with that one.
Edwin Pope, also a greater historian. Dave Hyde, also a greater historian. I'm sorry, Greg.
I think I've got one that'll absolutely stump Andy, though. And
probably.
All right, you're on the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. The first words ever uttered on this program the name of a dolphin signing.
Look at Roy smile. Roy absolutely knows this. You're both going to laugh when Roy tells you what this is, because it's impossible for either of these guys to be a Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz historian. Roy, what is the correct answer? The first words ever spoken on this program were...
Chiniahanatu.
That is correct. So, Andy, make sure that's a part of your dolphin history going forward.
Okay.
Andy, thank
you. How do you feel, Andy?
Andy, I mean, congratulations.
Victory speech.
It was a lot of fun, guys. I appreciate the time. And anybody want to follow me, I'm at A. Cohen Fins. I appreciate it very much, guys.
All right, Andy. Thank you for the time. Greg Cody, we'll say goodbye to Andy Cohen, and now we'll check back in with Greg Cody, who's making faces. He's not happy with us. He doesn't like what just happened there. Greg, he really I was surprised that he chose Dave Hyde over you. I was not expecting that.
I mean, his trivia was better. His stories were better. It's a tough start to the day, Greg.
The Dave Hyde thing hurt, right, Mike? You saw it. He looked like legitimately
pissed
off.
He hasn't changed his posture.
Greg, you
looked pissed
off. You do. You looked really angry.
I have no excuse, because I think Mike, did me a solid. I obviously had much easier questions than Andy Cohen, and yet I blew it. I just didn't bring my A game. Unlike Andy Cohen, I do not have the word fins in my Twitter handle. I like to remain a little bit more independent than to appear that transparently as a homer.
Billy, what were your thoughts on what just transpired there?
I felt bad for Greg. Greg, I thought that you had it in you. There was something up with some of those questions. I don't know. I don't know that you got the fair shake. And also, I mean, hiding in Shula's laundry room in a time of, tragedy. I don't know about that.
What do you mean you don't know about that?
But I did nail that the Dolphins had two stomachs, and that's not going on the top of my resume.
Right.
My personal secretary is rewriting my resume as we speak.
Stu Gatz, how did you feel about what it is that we just witnessed there? Because we had exclusive access to staring at Greg Cody's face when Andy Cohen said that he had to choose Dave Hyde over, because that's his rival.
I know, and I kind of regret asking that question. I do, but it seems like everyone is more of a Dolphin historian than you are, Greg. Even Dave.
No. Look, Dave Hyde and I are friendly rivals. We're friends, and I don't have a problem with that. He did write, I think he wrote a book on the 72 Dolphins.
Well, that's what he was saying. That's why he gave him the credentials. He said he had the relationship with the 70s Dolphins that you did not have. He was talking to them. He was writing about them. He was doing these stories. You remember that. That was a real journalistic effort. Dave Hyde went back into the 70s and prided himself on writing the history of the Dolphins, not just in a book, but article to article, feature to feature, was writing, going to Hawaii, talking to Jake Scott, who nobody was talking to.
Yeah, I wrote Fins at 50, which was an Amazon bestseller.
I will say this, and hopefully the guys agree with me, the fact that you were cutting it up with Marino and had such a good relationship where he's making fun of the bottom of your shoes because they have holes in them while he's on the putting green, to me that lends more to Greg being on the inside than it does Andy Cohen. Greg had real relationships in that locker room. It seemed like Andy Cohen's were all via paycheck. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I don't think that that's accurate,
though.
That's
even a good story.
Greg vigorously nods his head, yes, it seems like what you might be able to say is that Andy Cohen has been closer to the action and has legitimately more information than he hasn't reported than information about the Dolphins that Greg Cody has reported. Like, I think that part is fair. I think Andy Cohen probably has a ton of stories, none of which he can actually tell. The ones that actually make people look bad.
Yeah, but sometimes you get too close, Dan, and then you start seeing things through aqua and orange lenses. And I think that's where Greg's saying, listen, I see things clear as day. Clear lenses, no aqua and orange. I tell it how it is. Right, Greg?
Well, you know what? It doesn't bother me that my bank of knowledge does not include that Nick Saban,
let's examine this for a second, because at various points during
now.
This you were falling apart.
I'm good.
I am, but
I'm better now. Nick Saban likes his steak well done. Who cares?
That was a great detail. Yep. I enjoyed hearing what a disgusting eater Nick Saban is.
That's why I like your Marino story so much, Greg. I mean,
well, I think what separates Andy and I really is just independence. I mean, he's paid by the Dolphins.
Yep.
I'm not.
You've mentioned that.
If Andy wanted to write a column that said the Dolphins should never have gone from Ryan Fitzpatrick to Tua, he would not be allowed to do that. I would be allowed to do that. I think there's just a gulf of independence here. And that's the only difference. It, you know, Andy, I have all the respect for in the world. He's a great historian. He's probably has more trivial knowledge than I do. You know, he been in Shula's laundry room. I never have. You know, just take it for what it's worth.
Greg, what was going on with your voice throughout that? Like, can you just either drink something or not drink something? Like, you seemed like your
voice.
That
must be a hell of a laundry room. Can you imagine Shula's laundry room? It's got to be like gilded in gold or something. Wow. What a house he's got. I've been in his house. I've been in his office. I've been in the spacious backyard. It's quite a, right on the water. It's a beautiful thing.